Welcome to the Success Sensei Podcast for anyone interested in success, happiness, and balance. We'll teach you how to be a black belt at life. And now, your host, former professional fighter, multiple world champion, entrepreneur, and investor, Robert Devan.
This is Roundhouse Rob, the Success Sensei, helping you to achieve your life one kick and punch at a time. And today I'm talking all about money. Money, money, money. Boy, it's funny in a rich man's world, and it's definitely not funny in a poor man's world or a poor woman's world. So I'm doing this recording from inside my vehicle, my dirty van. It's easier to do these podcasts on the run. Sometimes it's hard to go to the office and to set it up. It seems like it takes more time. Sometimes I get a break during the day. I'm actually outside my business and I have a break. So it's a little bit easier to, rather than do it. Normally I'm driving when I do them, or normally, you know, if I had a, in the perfect world, I'd be sitting in the office with calm and able to do it. But I don't always get to do that. And then like everybody else, I get frustrated and I feel like I'm not doing them enough. So this is kind of, I'm not driving, so it's not on the run, but I'm inside the vehicle. Just in case you hear a little bit of background noise or whatever, the recording should be a little bit better than if I had the engine on. So money, yeah, money and how it relates to you. We all want more of it. We're all spending too much of it. We want to try to keep what we have. The times that we live in, they're weird economic times at the moment. It depends on who you talk to. I talk to a lot of people informally about money, and I get the gist of where people are at and where the economy is at. And it's not always exactly what the media are projecting and what society at large is telling us about money. It's a weird, weird time. A lot of people, there's a lot of growth. And there's the appearance of a lot of growth, and it seems like there's a boom on at the moment, and the building industry seems like it's making money, the computer industry seems like it's making money. A lot of other people don't seem like they're making money. A lot of people are still on the recessionary wage decreases. A lot of people are saying that they're still financially struggling. I've noticed some weird things at the moment. The people that have had an increase in disposable income, because I mean that's what all businesses are trying to target, is your disposable income. The people that are that have had increases in disposable income have chosen to spend it on their own home improvements, are definitely purchasing cars, because I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there's nicer cars on the roads, and that's because of the PCP financing, that the restructuring the financing, making it easier. I don't fully know how it works. I did look into it and I'm kind of confused now, but it's to do with the value of your car during the time that you own it. But anyway, it makes it a little bit easier. It makes it lower payments, so it makes it easier to buy a nicer car. So if you haven't had an increase in wages and then you suddenly had a small increase in wages and you're able to purchase and afford, well, not purchase, but lease, whatever way it works, a car that is way higher spec than you thought you were going to be able to do. I mean, a lot of people have chosen to go that route, that they're not able to move house or they're not able to purchase an investment property, so it was easier for them to just purchase the car that they actually really wanted. Now, in my understanding, there's balloon payment at the end, and the next time you go to do it, it's a little bit harder because you mightn't have a car to trade in. So even that seems like it's deferred pain for instant and immediate gratification. So I won't be going down that route, and I wouldn't suggest you do either. I do think the best way to purchase a car is through the credit union if you don't actually have the cash. I prefer credit unions. I think they're I think they're a lot easier to deal with, and I think they're even with the interest rates and stuff like that. Have you noticed the way the banks are all trying to throw personal loans? What did I see advertised? Up to 100,000. They can let you know if they can lend it to you as a personal loan within a matter of a few minutes. But they're not really lending you mortgages. They can't really give you mortgages at the moment because of all the restrictions. It's very, very hard to get a mortgage. So they can't make their money from the mortgages, which is what they want. So they seem to be firing personal loans and going after that market to try to make whatever money the banks and the financial institutions can, until there's some kind of an easing with the credit restrictions, with the mortgages and stuff like that. So it's a weird economic time. I think people are still cash in their pocket, still restricted. What did I call it earlier? Still restricted income that they can use. I think people are still tight with money. I think money is still tight across the board, despite them reporting. You know, a lot of the time they're telling us that everything is great, we're on a boom, we're on an economic uplift. And a lot of that is projected and thrown out there to try to stimulate an uplift, to create consumer confidence and consumer spending. So I wouldn't really believe that, because you know, there's such a cross section of people that I see on a daily basis. And as I said, informally, I will talk to them all about how business is going, how life is going, how everything is going, through the power of kickboxing and martial arts. And if one thing I have learned, it's that when people get tired, the barriers come down and they invariably tell you the truth. They get rid of their barriers because they're tired, and they actually tell you what exactly is going on. So they really do divulge the truths and stuff. Sometimes too much so. Sometimes there's too much honesty. But a lot of the time, if you're talking about things like money, why is money still one of the last taboo subjects, especially in this country? Families don't talk about money. My family don't talk about money. Obviously, I do with my wife, and I will with my kids when they're of an age. But families don't talk about money. Friends don't declare what they're earning. In fact, the person who is giving it loads about how much they have is generally the biggest knob in the room. So people don't talk about it. So we're not helping each other with our own goals and our own personal finances. Money is still kind of a dirty subject. We think that people who have money are... and people who aspire to have money, and even the worthy goal of wanting to be financially secure, not a burden on anybody or the state, or a burden on family or friends, wanting to be financially comfortable is like, I don't know, that's still considered to be greed in this country. You can't do a job interview and actually ask in the very first interview, what is the salary? You have to go around it in a roundabout way, and you'll be told that we're not looking for somebody who's purely interested in this role and this profession. For salary, we want somebody who's actually interested in the job itself. So it's one big charade, and we know that the money side of it is very, very important, and that's the decider as to whether you're going to do the job or not. So money is still, it's still one of those subjects that we're afraid to talk about, or has a lot of taboos about, or we don't want to get into it. And there's that much misinformation, there's that much lying, it's that tied to ego and everything else. And yet it is, money makes the world go around. It is a very, very important daily subject. And it's not just the actual physical money, it's what money can do for you. It's all the many goals that you want to do. It's the safety and security and confidence that you want to have. It's the experiences, the life experiences that you want to have. People say there's more important things in life than money, but money gives you the opportunities to have more of those important things in life. In other words, if you had so much money and so much passive income, you never had to work, you'd have more time to spend with your family. So then you'd actually have more time to enjoy the things that money doesn't buy. Apparently couples, that is the biggest row across the board, is money, or a lack thereof. So it is a very, very important subject, and one that really families should be working at as a team to ensure their financial future. And couples should be as well. So money, how do you make more of it? What the hell do you do? What's the story with it? Why do you want it in the first place? And the reason why you want it in the first place, more than likely, is you want to purchase more things to make your life a little bit easier, or a bit nicer, or a bit more comfortable, or a bit safer. Or you want to purchase more experiences. You want to go to more places. So you can basically, it's what you can do with the money that really counts. It's the experiences that you can have. It's the stuff that you can have. You choose whether you want to be a materialistic person or not. I'm not going to judge either way. That's totally up to you. You choose your goals, your financial goals. That's completely up to you. But you will have to remove your self-limiting beliefs. Being interested in money does not equal greed. All people with money are not bad people. Some are bad, some are good. It's like everybody else, it's just a cross-section of humanity. Money in and of itself isn't the crux of all evil. It's not the key to happiness. Although, I mean, many people, you can put so many rows and so many counter-arguments forward that at the end of the day, it's easier to be sad and rich than sad and poor. It's happier to be sad and rich. That's a right oxymoron. Happier to be sad and rich than it is to be sad and poor. So you need to get rid of all those self-limiting beliefs, you know, that's actually stopping you from attracting and more wealth into your life and chasing more wealth. So you need to not be thinking of wealthy people as dickheads or mean people or bad people or unscrupulous people, people with low moral standards that are willing to beg, borrow, steal, and embezzle to make their riches. That's not the case, and it doesn't have to be the case with you. Sure, you can be a super philanthropist and donate loads of money to charity, set up your own charity if you have money. You can give back in so many ways if you need to alleviate your guilt regarding having financial wealth. I mean, that's totally up to you. You have more options if you have money, and that's what it's all about at the end of the day. So you will have to remove your self-limiting beliefs regarding money and have a look at them and what you think of money. Do you think it's greedy? Why do you think it's greedy? If you have thoughts about things like that, you've already shot yourself in the foot before you've gotten started. So there's two ways of having wealth or amassing wealth. Number one is income, getting as much as you can, earning as much as you can. And the second way is reducing expenditure, not wasting money. And both are really, really important. You could be earning loads of money and spending loads of money, and you could be broke. You could be earning very little money, but living very frugally, living on very little, and you have plenty of savings and plenty of money, and you're never stuck for anything. So let's visit both areas for a second. Income. There's a couple of ways of getting income. So the traditional method, the way we've all been brought up, is get a job, make your money. So obviously, if that's your route, academics should be a very, very important point in your life. If you're going to get a job, then the highest earning jobs require generally the most amount of education or the most amount of experience, but it's generally the most amount of education. So if you're not in that current position, if you want to jump up to the next financial bracket, you might have to reskill, you might have to go to college, you might have to jump professions. As we've already discussed, I know a lot of people jumping to computers and switching profession and going into computers because it's been a fairly safe industry. Even in during the recession times, people made money in computers. So that's what you could do. You could jump professions or look at something else that you wanted to do. If you're at a ceiling within your own job and you can't actually make any more money than you're making right now, think about changing professions and think about reskilling and doing something. But make sure you do choose something that you're actually going to like. If you're just going after something for money goals, a lot of people say, oh, you know, if I got a job for 100 grand, I could do it for 2 years, save as much as I can and then leave. But realistically, you're not going to. You're going to do it for longer. And you're going to not save as much as you think you're going to earn, and it'd be very hard to do something that you absolutely hate it just for money. As much as you say in your mind you're going to be able to do that, it'd be very, very hard. So think of something that you actually would like to do, and then, as I said, reskill. If you're going to make money through business, then you can set that up while you have a job. You don't have to leave your job to set it up. You can set it up part-time and see if it takes off. If it doesn't take off, you haven't completely jumped out of the ship and given in your notice, so you still have an income. And then you can try to set up a business or set up multiple businesses. Just remember that not every business person's first business or second business actually succeeds. So it's one of those things that it could be a game of numbers and you have to try several times. So be prepared for the long haul. Another way of doing it is taking the money that you are earning and investing it so that hopefully you can generate a passive income. Most people are trading basically their hours, their time for cash. There is a limited amount of money you can earn by doing that. If you can put yourself in a position where you're earning money while you sleep, you're earning money if you're injured or you're sick or you weren't working or if you're on holidays, you're still earning money. How do you do that? You do that through passive income. So guess what? We're at a super period of time in Earth's history where there's never been an easier time to do that. We have the internet, and the internet has given so many opportunities to so many people to be able to make money passively. Now, passive income, is it really passive? Generally, no, because you actually have to do a hell of a lot of work to get it started, and then there is a good bit of work in the maintaining it, but it's not strictly an hour by hour earning of money that you would do in a normal job. So you can still actually earn money once it's set up, and once you do a little bit of maintenance work, you can make money while you sleep if you're selling products or online or selling, you know, services online, or you can automate the process as much as possible. You can make money while you sleep, while you're on holidays, while you're sick, you know, when you're old, when you don't want to work. That's one of the ways of getting yourself to put, you have to have a little bit of income and a good bit of work to even get that started. So a lot of business people, a lot of entrepreneurs will think like that. One pound or $1 or €1, how do I make that into two? As opposed to, what can I spend this $1, €1, £1 on? And that's the way a lot of consumers think. So say, for example, 10 euro, $10, £10 in your pocket, thinking of, oh, I can spend it in this and I can spend it in that. A true businessman, a true entrepreneur is thinking about how to double that money or more. Apparently, in some industries, like the garment industry, I've heard it reported that it's like an 800% increase profitability on top of the costs of manufacturing the particular garment. So I'm sure that's not totally true, but they're still very, very impressive numbers. So it doesn't even have to be double. But as a general rule, double is pretty good. If you have 10 euro, $10 or £10, how do you double it and get 20 euro? So that's the way a business person would think, an entrepreneur would think. You try to make your money work for you. It might mean that you'll restrict the luxuries you have at the moment, but would you rather their luxuries were restricted when you were younger and more able-bodied, or would you rather they were restricted when you're least able to increase revenue and you're at you're a lot older, or you're a lot more, I don't know, restricted physically, or you have a few more ailments? Would you rather then be worrying about a lack of luxuries, or would you rather worrying about it right now? Take the pain now for the benefit in the future. Short-term gratification and instant gratification basically is eating into long-term gain and could put you at a more vulnerable position in the future. So you want to be concentrating on doing what you can now to ease the pain in the future. Take the pain now to ease the pain in the future. But it doesn't have to be completely painful. That's income. Negating and staving off instant pleasure. Instead of spending that money, thinking of ways of how can I invest it, or how can I start up my own business, put a little bit of funds in to double it or to basically increase it. Information gathering is a part of every stage of this conversation. The more experts you talk to, the more people you divulge your master plan to experts, not just your uncle or a member of your family that's going to have an opinion that mightn't be the right way to go. But somebody that you respect and has done what you've already done should be someone that you should be talking to about increasing income and what the best way to go about it in your own circumstance is. Right, next. So the less fun one is decreasing expenditure. Not even just decreasing, but just being smart, not wasting your money. So you've managed to get money. So every time you blow it on a liability, on something that is going to just decrease in value the second you buy it. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying I've wasted my fair share of money, and I'm sure I will continue to do so in the future, but I will actually think about it before I do it. I will actually make sure that I understand that that's what I'm about to do. Years ago when I was small, we used to go to the amusements and the video games, and we might spend £5, which probably was a lot back then, but we kind of, the way we looked at it, and it was going to be wasted, especially if you were putting them into the horse racing machines or any of the gambling stuff. But the way we looked at it is, if it was an hour and we had fun for that hour, that money was spent. That light entertainment was actually worth it. It was an hour of pleasure. It was an hour of fun, as opposed to it could be completely wasted. So you can spend money and justify it, even if it's going to amount to nothing, like that example. But just make sure you understand the process and make sure you understand that that is what you're doing. So if you're putting your money and all your money and large amounts of money into liabilities and depreciating assets, what am I talking about? I'm talking about clothes, holidays, alcohol, expensive dinners out, cars that you might not necessarily need and you won't get the value out of. So I'm not saying don't buy any of those things. We all buy all those things, but just justify them and just know that for every dollar you're spending, you're taking that dollar away from something that could be making you more money. So just keep that in mind. It's a decision. Every time you spend money, it's a decision. Do I spend on something that could potentially earn me more money in the future and mean I have to work less in the future? Or do I spend money on something that I want now that looks flash and is going to give me very temporary happiness, very temporary endorphins? So that's a decision, and that's something that if you're going to be successful in the future, you really have to be making all these many correct decisions as you go along. So trying to spend less, living below your means, and not really having like a life like a monk, because that's pretty boring. But I mean, compare. I like deals. I like to know that I had a deal, and I like to actually think about the purchase. So for example, you're going to buy something, get three comparisons. You don't necessarily have to go with the cheapest comparison. But if the middle, go with the middle one. You can go with the expensive one as well if that's what you really, really want. But just go with, have options. Go with a deal. I'm renowned for purchasing stuff when I don't need it if it's a deal. I'll give you a really, really simple example. Due to working in the health and fitness industry, runners, trainers, sneakers, I would use a lot. So I purchase them when I don't need them. I don't wait till I need a pair. I purchase them when, if I see a decent pair and there's a decent sale on and I don't need them, I will buy them because I know eventually I'm going to need them and I have them there and I don't have to rush out and overspend. That's on a really, really small level. But you can take that and magnify that to bigger situations and bigger deals. So if you purchase smart, then you know you won't panic and overspend and waste money, and then you have more money set aside for things that are going to build your future, your partner's future, your kids' future, or help out with your family, because you're always going to need more money in the future. You just don't know what is ahead of you. So when living week by week and paycheck to paycheck, or day by day, or month to month, if you're a monthly salary earner, is very, very risky. So having some type of a war chest is very, very important. And having some type of income that isn't just working hard, slogging it out. So reducing expenses is really important. You don't have to eat out in fancy restaurants as often as maybe you do. You don't have to go, like, you can equally a week on a comparable holiday is just as much fun, and it could be half the price of one that you were planning on doing. You just have to be smart. I'm not saying don't go on holidays. I'm just saying choose wisely. And I'm not saying don't go on the expensive holiday, but maybe build up to it. Just choose wisely when you can afford to, and that actually fits into your financial plan, your life's financial plan. And if you want to be financially secure in the future, these are the decisions that you have to make right now. There's no reason why you wouldn't be financially secure in the future. There's no reason why you wouldn't be wealthy in the future. There's no reason why you wouldn't be rich in the future. You've got many, many years in your life to come up with a plan and to invest and to reduce spending. You know, when you look, when we look back at our periods in our lives and we think about the money that we've wasted that we wish we had now, did you ever do that exercise? Think back at the things that you have actually wasted money and you'd love to have that money now. It's actually a horrible thought. So hopefully it sets you up to not make those same mistakes in the future. Think back, have a quick think. Did you ever waste any money? What did you waste it on? Was it worth it? Would you prefer to have that money now? If you had that money now, what would you spend it on? And whether you're in the position or not to invest, you should study the market a little bit. Study, make it a game. Like Monopoly, who doesn't love Monopoly? Make it a game. Study the market a little bit in an area that you think you would want to get involved in. Which brings me on to the final point. Hang on a sec. That cough has been brewing since the start. A tickle in the throat since the start of the podcast. Right. So affirmations are the secret. Yeah, the secret. That book, The Secret, and Attracting Wealth. I do believe there's truth to that. Maybe not a whole book's worth of truth, but I do think there's truth to, you know, if you focus on the negative, you'll attract more negative in your life than positive. If you focus on the positive, you will attract more positive into your life than negative. And I think it's the same about money. If you focus on an abundance of money, how to achieve an abundance of money, how to retain the money that you do have, in comparison to focusing on lack of money and not having enough money and the negative aspects of money, I think if you focus on the positive and the abundance of money, I do think you'll see more opportunities and you'll attract. Whatever the science is behind it, even making your life that little bit happier, focus on abundance more so than restriction and lack of, and your life will be a bit happier too. And you never know whether you believe it or not. If you give it a go and it works, who cares if you believe it or not? If it works, it works. So I do think focus on an abundance, focus on attracting wealth. Don't be afraid to do a wealth map or a wealth scrapbook, whatever magazines you're reading or newspapers, or it doesn't have to be paper, I suppose it can be the internet, print something out, whatever the car you would aspire to own, whatever clothes you like, whatever images you like that evoke a feeling of wealth and security, you know, cut them out, put them in a scrapbook to have a look at to motivate yourself. Even that process is very, very valuable. Whether you think it's airy fairy or not, if it works, it's worth a go. If it puts you in a better financial position than the one that you're in now, then it's worth a go. So we could go on and on about money, but there are sacrifices on the route when it comes to achieving wealth, and a lot of people aren't prepared to make the sacrifices that are needed to get to the wealth that they wish they had. What the hell do I mean by that? Well, you want to get a decent balance in your life, so make sure that you don't literally go wealth hunting and forsake happiness, forsake time with your family or, you know, your friends and important relationships in your life just for the sake of chasing wealth. So make sure you get a decent balance. It's hard to be, if you're going to be really, really good, like, I mean, a genius, an expert in one specific area, I do think you have to have absolutely nothing else in your life except for that one specific. And I'm talking about the top in your field in the world. If you want to be the best violin player in the world, the best of all time, I think there needs to be absolutely nothing else in your life bar playing the violin 18 hours a day and then dreaming about it at night. Nothing else. No relationships that are going to take away from it. No television, no nothing. Absolutely nothing else. Just playing the violin. That's how ruthless you would have to be to be the number one best of all time at that particular thing or any subject matter. Most people aren't prepared to do that. If you were given the choice, you can be the best violin player of all time, but you will have no life outside of the violin. Your sum total of your life will be the violin, but that's how you're going to ensure your success. And you are given that choice. I don't think most people would actually choose that route, because it might not be, I'd hazard a guess, might not be a very happy existence. So keep in mind, it's all about balance. So money, while money is very, very important, you don't want to just exclusively focus on that to the detriment of everything else in your life. So just keep that in mind when you are setting your goals, because if you had a choice, you wouldn't choose it for yourself. So you need to get a good balance. So increase your income, decrease or manage or be smart with your expenses. Focus on what you want. Set your goals. Talk to successful people who you do admire, and focus on attracting what you want into your life. Use affirmations if you need. Don't worry if it's cheesy. If it works, it works. I wish you all the best. I believe that all of us in the first world can have an affluent life. We just need to go about things the right way. And I'm convinced that we can all do it, and we can all help each other. And it will definitely be have more abundance and more happiness and more balanced, friendly, helpful human beings. Okay, over and out. Thank you for listening. I'm Roundhouse Rob, the Success Sensei. Life is a fight you can enjoy and win. Bowing out.
This has been the Success Sensei, fighting the winning fight. So add us, subscribe, like, and comment. Keep those hands up and keep moving forward.